Welcome to Girl Get a Real Job podcast. My name is Sara Karpanen and I am talking today with Emma Zek, a creative whose line of work I've been following online for a while, and I am super stoked to be chatting with her today. For those of you who are not familiar with Emma's practice, she's a singer, songwriter, a performance poet, and also a coach, empowering women to reclaim their voice. Emma, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm super stoked to be here.
I'm so excited to chat with you for a while. Like I said, I've been following you on Instagram, and it seems like everything that you put online is just, it comes from a very honest place, a place that seems like very unfiltered, and it's so refreshing that there are people like that in this time and age when everything seems so well curated, and we're quite careful perhaps as well as creatives to say our opinions on various of topics.
Yeah, we're living in a time where it's not cool to do that anymore.
Right, exactly. And so I have a lot of questions for you about your practice and how you came about doing the wonderful things that you are doing today. But first of all, yeah, I just wanted to ask you, I mean, so we're doing this over Zoom, you are in Texas, I'm in London, it's what, 11 o'clock in the morning there?
Yeah.
So you're just sort of waking up, is that your, what's your morning routine like normally?
No, I woke up a couple hours ago. I just had a call with my producer that he's helping me release this album or this EP that we just recorded. And so I was talking to him and my publicist, and that's what was happening this morning. But yeah, my morning routine looks like I wake up, I usually go outside and take a walk immediately, but it's been so freaking hot here that that has not been happening lately. So I'll do some journaling, and I'm really into the practices of Carolyn Elliott right now. I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She wrote this brilliant book called Existential Kink, and she's just like a total modern day witch, and she teaches people how to do the great work, is she calls it, is what a lot of philosophers call it. And it's essentially to integrate your subconscious and your conscious so that your will is not divided anymore. Very heavy topic, but I do some of her, it's a whole nother conversation. I do a lot of her journaling and meditations every morning.
That sounds like a divine way to start your day. Do you, I mean, as far as I am familiar with your practice and your line of work, you do various different creative things. Like you have your coaching practice and your online courses, or are they in-person courses?
I was doing retreats in person for a while, but to start my music career and really do it right, I'm no longer working in person, just so I can have all the free time to be able to go play gigs and stuff like that. So my work is totally online right now.
Yeah, amazing. And so how do you combine all of that? And maybe I take a step back, as I got to know you as the poet, Emma, and then you've so quickly kind of dwelled into this world of music and songwriting. And so, yeah, was that like an organic process? Would you like to kind of walk us through a little bit of like, yeah, how's the music and songwriting played into your life?
Yeah, so I've always been a singer. Growing up, I played piano and I wrote my own music. And I think I had a YouTube account when I was like 10, where I was posting cover songs, like Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana cover songs on the internet. And then I went through some familial trauma, and it wasn't really safe for me to use my voice in my family. And I grew up watching my mother be scapegoated and shunned and all sorts of different things. And so I shut down my voice. Excuse me. It's funny how that happens sometimes. Yeah, exactly. You're talking about the voice. I shut down my voice subconsciously for about 10 to 12 years. And during that time, I didn't even really consider myself to be a singer, which is wild to me because I'm such a singer. It's definitely a huge part of who I am. And so anyways, long story short, I this is really random, but I started playing the guitar about a year and a half ago, just on a whim. I moved to Texas, and specifically the area that I live in around Austin is like the music, live music capital of the world. There's just musicians everywhere here. And I started playing the guitar and still didn't really, I thought I was just going to do it for fun. And then it wasn't until last fall, I took a plant medicines have been a huge part of my journey and just self-reclamation. And I had sat with psilocybin mushrooms multiple times, and I've taken upwards of like 4 grams. I've sat with mushrooms so many times. And this particular time, I don't know what it was other than my soul needed to experience this horrific underworld experience. I took 1 gram of mushrooms and basically had an 8-hour long panic attack. And then that spiraled into about 3 months of essentially feeling like I was losing my mind. I don't know if you've ever heard of people who have experiences with plant medicine and then they kind of lose it. So that's basically what happened to me, but luckily I had the tools and the resources, and even though I felt like I was going mad, there was still a deep, tiny little seed within me that was like, no, this is an awakening that you're having. This is trauma that's coming to the surface that's asking to be healed. And so what got me through that time was my mother, thank God for her, and also singing. And then I started writing my own music. And then I started to kind of pull myself out of that dark hole. Once I felt regulated enough to go be around other humans, I started playing at open mics. And every time I sang, I even remember one time I was singing a Fleetwood Mac song just to some friends. And I literally felt the most intense amount of energy shoot up from my heart. It was almost like it had been blocked for years, and it just shot out of my throat. And I sang like I had never sang before. And so, like I said, those 10 to 12 years, I knew that I could sing, but I didn't know that I could sing like I sing now. And so, it was this really painful experience that revealed to me the gift that I had always had within me, that I loved with all my heart, that I had been denying myself, because not using my voice kept me safe.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I mean, how did you integrate that process? Like you said, you luckily had those tools, and singing was so much part of that healing process. And we do talk so much, like I think in this like spiritual spaces, about using also psychedelics for healing. And of course they can be good tools, right, as well. But also on the other hand, I'm also glad to hear this other perspective that I haven't encountered that many times, especially someone talking so openly about their experience that wasn't like utterly positive. Mm-hmm. Of course, maybe that could have happened anyway. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. So it's so funny because it's plant medicines and my experience and my, just my experience and my knowledge that I have of them, they reveal to us what's inside of us. And if you grew up with a lot of trauma and a lot of psychological abuse is what I experienced, of just being gaslit and being manipulated from a very, very young age. And so I had a hard time discerning what was reality. And so, like I said, I believe that plant medicines reveal to us what's already inside of us. And so if this had happened to me 5 years ago, I would have probably lost it, like legit would have gone on meds and just kind of succumbed to this life of now developing a quote unquote mental illness from a plant medicine, which you see with a lot of people. Like you see people going and sitting with, not a lot, but quite a few, going to sit with ayahuasca, and they come back and they have quote unquote schizophrenia or something like that. But what's happening is you're expanding your consciousness in such a way that if your body, you haven't done the somatic work to be able to integrate an experience like that back into your body, the expansion is too much for this little vessel that you're in to hold. So anyways, to answer your question kind of a roundabout way, I still see that experience as positive for me. Right. It was medicine that I needed to get where I'm at. And it was terrifying. I still have a tiny little bit of PTSD from it. Sometimes I'll feel maybe a symptom or a weird thought and I'm like, oh shit. But I know that was this kind of the sacrifice that I made in order to have this gift really emerge from within me. But yeah, that's the whole nother conversation as it pertains to plant medicines, but not a lot of people talk about the risk. And even if in my experience, you go through a really intense borderline psychotic experience, that is still a gift, but it's just, you have to have the grit and the strength and the resources and the tools around you in place to be able to let yourself integrate the experience. Because if I didn't have to work during that time, I was living on a farm in nature with animals around me. Like, I had it made. If I was living in New York City and I had to go work a job, I would have been fucked.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
I think we are, like, I've been thinking about this lately quite a lot. I went through something that I still can't name exactly. I think it was probably a mixture of anxiety, depression, that we probably call a burnout these days. But I managed to take some time off, and yeah, I have also experiences in some, like, plant medicines, but also I appreciate that we need so much time to kind of just regulate our nervous systems also before even necessarily going to that state or take the next step, whatever that is for our healing journeys. But also what I've been thinking about a lot is, like, we are quite fragile beings. We're very, very, very resilient at the same time. But to kind of understand how to wean or integrate those experiences as part of the everyday life as well. Like, I think it's incredible what you just described, like, kind of going through that place of darkness and turning it into art. And now you are, like, recording an album. Like, yeah, that's wild.
Totally. And it's been pretty wild how fast this has all happened to me, but I think,
so what's the timeline?
Yeah, I started writing my own music in November. Granted, I had been playing guitar, and I've always been a poet. And so it's not like this is totally out of left field. Like, it makes sense. Hmm. But I recorded my album my first EP, which is 6 songs that'll be released in August, within 6 months of me writing my own music. And, you know, I think why it happened so quickly for me is because I know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's why the mushroom experience was such a blessing, because it was like, I hadn't been listening. If I really got quiet with myself, I knew that I wanted to be a singer. Every time I would date someone who was a singer, I would feel, like, so jealous of them, or I would see people on stage and be like, I could do that, but then I wasn't doing it. Yeah. And so I've had this desire, this dream within my heart from the time I was born. And the mushrooms, what happened? They were like, you're not listening. So we're going to literally bring you to your knees and make it that painful so you get the message, so that I don't spend 10, 20 more years. And then I wake up when I'm 50 and being like, oh my God, I was supposed to be a singer. I was supposed to write music, and I could still then, but, like, now it's quote unquote too late. It's never too late, but, you know, that would probably be the story I'd be telling myself. And so it got that intense. It had to be 3 months of full-blown fucking psychotic madness so that I got the message. Mm. But yeah, it has all happened very quickly. And I'll actually be in London this fall recording a full-length album, which will be really exciting. So
we'll be there. Yeah. Oh yeah, well, recording, not that the recording.
Well, I'll have some gigs too that you can come. You can come listen to, which will be fun.
Yeah, definitely. We are, did you say... Did you say August or September?
October. I'll be there in September and then back again in November.
Okay, we have our magazine launch in September. So if the stars align, you should definitely come and play, or at least come and enjoy the opening.
I would love that. I would love to just, yeah, come hang out and meet you guys. That'd be fun.
100%. But going back to, like, I'm just thinking, like, you know, you explained this, like, you know, quite cathartic and, you know, huge moment for yourself, that when you discovered your creative calling and the true nature of your voice as well, or whatever you want to call it, the authenticness that is Emma today as the singer and songwriter. But what would you say to someone who is kind of in the midst of, I know that I'm supposed to be doing something else, but I can't just break it there? Like, what is it that
Well, I would, like, if I was working with, I work with a lot of women who have that story.
Right.
And I would say, why do you think that you can't? Like, what's the story behind that you can't? You're not good enough. Maybe it's going to require you to change. Maybe it's going to require you to leave a relationship or leave the environment that you're living in, or sell all your things and shave your head. I don't know. But I think a lot of people think that they can't because, one, we have that conditioning that tells us that we can't, that tells us that life, the creative, beautiful, abundant life is for everybody else and it's not for me, right? So many of us hold that story. Okay. But then beyond that, from a pure, like, I don't love to use the term laziness because I see everything through a lens of like trauma and nervous system. So I don't say laziness in the sense of like you're eating potato chips on the couch, but it's like you're settling for a life that's just easy. It's like either way, it's going to be hard. You denying your dreams and choosing a life that's not yours and just kind of settling for mediocre, that's going to be hard, but that's going to be hard in a way that it like eats away at your soul and you feel suicidal and you feel depressed because you're denying yourself your own magnificence. Or it's going to be hard because you're going to feel like you're alone. You're going to have to sacrifice some things. You're maybe not going to be able to go out with your friends as much because you're going to have to work at it. There's going to be finances that are involved. Like it's going to be hard either way. And so what hard do you want? Because for me, one last thing too, when I say hard, I don't mean the like patriarchal hamster wheel of like the 9 to 5, it has to be hard and you have to grind till you die. It's like the type of hard that's like, that refines you. Mm-hmm. That's the type of hard that I'm speaking of. Mm-hmm. But yeah, choose the path that you want. Understand that they're both going to have challenges. But for me, my biggest fear is getting to the end of my life. Like I can feel into this and it makes me makes my stomach drop to my asshole. Getting to the end of my life and being like, oh my God, I was this fucking fiery, beautiful ball of potential. And I just didn't do anything.
Fiery, beautiful potential. I mean,
right. And that's fine. Maybe there's people who don't have dreams to do anything. They just kind of want to drift and travel. But for me, that's not, I definitely want that as well. But for me specifically, I have a dream to make art at a really high level. And so if I deny myself that is my biggest fear, is to get to the end of my life and not even try to go for it.
Yeah. Huge. Wow. Yeah. What have been so far the biggest highlights for you in your creative career?
Oh man, I feel like I'm at the very beginning stages of this all. Highlights, I got to read some poetry on the stage of this woman named Rupi Kaur, which was really beautiful. That was kind of my first opening into like, I read to like a 3,000-4,000 people, which was the biggest audience I've ever performed in front of, which was really cool.
I mean, that's a proper audience.
Yeah, for sure. I'm used to playing to like 50 or 100, maybe.
Usually, yeah, like that's massive. How did you feel? How was the experience?
Yeah, it was terrifying, but I felt great. And it's so funny because I know in my heart that I'm such a performer. I don't know if you maybe feel like this when you're in flow, but like you get all nervous and you get giddy and you're like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And
yeah,
then you
get
off there and you just black out and something else takes over. And then you get off and you're like, that was so cool. I don't know how the fuck I just did that. Like I just blacked out the whole time. I don't remember anything, but like, I know that I killed it.
Yeah.
So I live for moments like that. And I'm excited to have many more of them.
That's so true. I feel like I also do poetry. Well, there was this one time when I actually forgot my lyrics. It was like there is this place, I mean you might have these places as well, Soho Houses in New York, mm-hmm. or other places, but so I performed at the Soho House for the first time and it was kind of a big thing for me, you know, and then I just forgot what I was supposed to say, and that has never ever happened to me before. And then I just had to kind of pick myself again and be like, the theme was I can't remember exactly, but it wasn't like authenticity, but it was something like, and it wasn't about failure, but it was something, you know, raw. I think it was like to be raw and truthful. So yeah, well, I guess it was quite fitting, but I was like, afterwards, I was like, what the fuck? What did just like happen? But then people came to me afterwards and they're like, we loved it. And, you know, like you really showed that other side of yourself. But yeah, it was kind of like, oh, has that ever happened?
That's so beautiful though. Dude, that's so human, you know, that's like so human and people love that shit. And I've had many moments like that. Specifically, I sang at this open mic a couple weeks ago with this really prolific guy who runs it, and he's really talented and has been on tour and he's just great. And I totally blew it. Like I forgot my lines and then I cracked and hit a note that wrong. And then I like got so nervous. I like couldn't play my guitar anymore. My fingers were like fucking, it was just so awkward. And I had to stop and I stopped and I was like, I said out loud, I was like, oh my God, I'm so nervous right now. And then I just picked it up and kept going. And, you know, I think that offering yourself that grace to, even when you're a performer, to still be human, I think that's what really captivates the heart of people, because that people look at you and they're like, oh my God, see, she's not some perfect pop star or whatever. You know, I think that, a lot of people pedestal and idolize celebrities and performers and artists. And I think when you offer people that, it's really beautiful for them to just see humanity.
That is true. And I think it's very right what you just said about, like, when you name, like you said, like, oh, I'm nervous. I think that often helps when you just kind of like, okay, like it's such a human emotion. Like, okay, I'm nervous. And even if you, and when you say that out loud to the audience as well, they're like, they can probably resonate with that. Okay, she's nervous. She's on the stage. Like that happens. Okay. Yeah.
Totally.
Totally. What about your dreams? I mean, you just said that you're like at the starting of your career, but would you like care to share any of your dreams? What are you working towards?
Yeah, I want my music to be played all over the world. I want to go on tour. I want to do like, God, every time I feel like I speak truth in the past few days, my voice is like, stop. So funny. Yeah, I want to do the whole thing. I want to do all of it. I want to be like, one of my favorite artists is Florence and the Machine. And I just think she's so brilliant, and her art, she's really perfected her craft and the way she tells stories and the way she performs, and having my own Emma Zeck version of what I project onto her is absolutely my dream. And it terrifies me. And I even feel sweaty thinking about it, because, you know, my mind goes through, how am I going to fund this? How is this going to happen? And right now, I am funding my own album, and I have a tiny bit, a little bit of help from my mom and my grandma. But other than that, I am doing this all on my own. I refuse to like get a sugar daddy or call my own dad. Like, I am committing myself to making this happen. And so, it's just funny listening to my own mind. It's like, I get nervous when I speak about my dreams, because it's a lot of risk and it's a lot of sacrifice. And I know there's a tiny little mustard seed deep within me that knows it's going to be worth it. So
exactly. And I think that's the mustard seed is the only thing that we have to listen to, really.
Absolutely.
And just somehow
full-blown trust.
Yeah, exactly. Water it as much as we need to. I don't know what you do to a mustard seed, but that's something.
Yeah, do something. Throw some ketchup on it. I don't know. Do something. Put actual mustard. I'd be like, I don't know. I'm just trying.
Let's just try everything, but definitely acknowledge its existence.
That's what we want to do. You didn't have to do all that. You could have just like said hi, and that would have sufficed.
Do you ever, are you ever afraid to step into new territories? Like, you have all these different hats and titles, and entrepreneur probably being one of them, a coach as well.
Yeah. I feel there's a quote. Do you know who Georgia O'Keeffe is?
No, I don't.
She's a brilliant American Southwest painter, and she moved from New York City and lived in New Mexico until she died, but really inspiring life. And she has a quote that says, I have been terrified every moment of my life, and I never let it stop me from doing something that I wanted to do. And, you know, especially in spiritual spaces, there's a lot of talk on like, it's supposed to be easy and it's going to feel flowy and you're just going to, and I just think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm fucking terrified, Sarah. Like, I'm funding this album. It feels very vulnerable to me to like be putting music out into the world, not just on Instagram, but like on all streaming platforms. I'm making my name, opening myself up to a lot more energy coming in. And so, yeah, it feels very uncomfortable. Sometimes I wonder if I want to do it at all, but then I know that there's no other alternative, or the other alternatives for me don't sound as exciting and as adventurous. And so, yeah, I do feel terrified and uncomfortable, but I don't let that I don't take that as an indicator that I shouldn't be doing it or that I need to stop. I actually take it as an indicator that I'm on the right path.
Yeah. So kind of feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that I often quote Winston Churchill, but I probably shouldn't for various of reasons. But yeah, like, you know, he has great quotes about resilience and just, you know,
totally.
If you're going through hell, keep going, because I mean, what options do we have?
Totally.
Yeah. So yeah, can you tell us a bit more about the kind of creative work that you are doing to help other creatives to empower their voices? What does it mean to you as well, this kind of authenticity and empowering others to find their voices?
Yeah, I love that question because I feel like it's such a kind of buzz theme these days of like, I empower women to reclaim their voice. And it's very personal to me. And I lived that story, and I'm living proof of me growing up in a family that was very oppressive and growing up in a church that was very oppressive and watching my mother be abused and put into psych wards and all these really horrible things that have been perpetuated throughout my lineage, specifically towards women. Just because that's my experience, not to say that the men don't also have challenges, but I'm a woman.
That's your story.
Exactly. I just totally lost my train of thought, and I literally forgot the question you were asking. What did you ask again?
Please don't ask me to ask the question again.
You're like, I don't even know.
No, I just always have this blackout moment every now and then after I've asked a question, but I do remember it this time, which is about empowering your voice and kind of about your program, I suppose, that you are.
Yeah. So empowering women to reclaim their voice to me means teaching women to listen to that mustard seed of faith within them and to teach them not to get rid of the voice of fear, but to see it as an ally and to integrate it, because it's still a part of us, right? Even if we picked it up from the matrix or programming or family, whatever, like it's still that fear is a part of us, and it's not bad or wrong. It just is there. And it's kind of can be a guide for us within other things. And so, yeah, I teach women to really learn to trust themselves, especially women who have grown up in environments where they were gaslit or it wasn't safe to listen to their bodies and to kind of honor their truth to just honor their truth. And so I work with women, a lot of women who have experienced abuse in their lives and who have a hard time listening to themselves or who don't see themselves in a correct light. Who see themselves through the lens of shame or of fear or of insecurities. And so I really help women essentially reprogram their brains. And I'm not a trauma therapist I don't have any degrees actually, but I've lived this story. And so that's what gives me the authority to be able to teach this, because I've been there and I've pulled myself through and I've come out on the other side of what can feel very hellish to live in side of. And so I have two courses. I work one-on-one with women, but I only work with like two clients at a time. And that's just Zoom calls and kind of very similar to the conversation that we're having. And then I have a program called The Heart of the Poet, which is one of my favorites. It's a 3-month long, 12-week container where we go super deep. And it's essentially like geared towards creating the heart of the poet within you. And again, watering that little tiny mustard seed of faith and going all out on your dreams. Like I had a call with, we just completed another round of it. And I had a call with women a couple weeks ago and I was giving them homework and they weren't doing it. And I was like, what is this? I was like, you paid me this money, you signed up. So like, do the thing, stop like half-assing your work, stop half-assing your life. Like it's very, I can be kind of a ball buster, but a lot of artists need that space to have someone to be like, it's time. Not that we can't have fun anymore. Not that it's playful, but like, if you have a dream in your heart, you also have to be a doer. Mm-hmm. And so it's a space. Yeah. To just like, it's fun. We play, we laugh, but then it's also like radical fucking accountability of like, okay, where do you want to go? What's it going to take to get there? What are you willing to sacrifice in order to get there?
Mm. Yeah. I love what you just, sorry.
I'm supposed to go,
sorry, what's going on. I'm like, so I love what you said about the taking action, because I do agree with you that as creatives, I just read about this very recently, that procrastination is a form of self-sabotage as well. And when I read that, I was like, ouch. I was like, okay, there is something about it that resonates with me. I don't want to admit it, but yeah, I think, you know, one of the, so some of the like biggest creative projects that I feel like, oh, I don't really want to go to the next stage or take the next step, is it has to do with procrastination. So I, yeah, what do you have any thoughts on kind of self-sabotaging or like,
I totally agree with you. And I think there's another side to that coin of like, sometimes it's also just not time yet,
right?
But then there is, I mean, I definitely know that I've procrastinated like hell on like, I've had a book that I've wanted to publish for 2 years, still not out. Not because it's, I mean, obviously because it's not time yet or else it would be, but because I've procrastinated. But I think there's a lot of fear as it pertains to being an artist and putting your work out into the world, especially now in the climate that we're living in. It feels very reminiscent to what I believe it would have felt like in the, I don't even remember exactly what century that was, but when like people were getting burned at the stake and like hunted down metaphorically inside, psychically, it feels like that to me, where people can't speak freely without being receiving fucking death threats. I'm speaking for myself, or share their maybe controversial opinions without like people screenshotting and blasting and trying to ruin your career. Like it can feel very intense. And so I can only speak from my personal experience. I know for me, my procrastination has had a lot to do with being terrified of putting my vulnerable stuff out into the world, because people are going to perceive it in a certain way. Then they're going to project onto me. And so I think that even subconsciously with a lot of us, there's a lot of that going on.
I think there is a lot of that going on. Now that you just said that, I immediately realized how much self-censorship there is, or like even thinking what others are going to think when receiving this work. And for me, I can kind of resonate that with a bit of like kind of good girl syndrome, if you like. I know that for me, it has been also helpful in my past to kind of, you know, it was my way of operating and like kind of caring for myself probably, but also it doesn't serve me anymore. Like it did back then, but I think that's like an interesting question when I'm thinking of like Sarah today, the creative, and then I'm thinking what others might think. I'm kind of like pleasing, but then I end up not doing anything, which is so, of course, not serving anyone if I'm operating from that place. Like my business, like a 6-year-old, you know?
Totally. But I mean, it makes sense. Like the climate that we're living in since 2020 is really intense. And so it's like those parts of us, this is what I work with women with. That was a weird way of saying that. Work with women with, but it is true. Like being able to trust that mustard seed within you, even though your mind is like, oh my God, they're going to think X, Y, and Z, or my mom's not going to like this, or blah, 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 blah. I'm going to be shunned for this or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's like, what's the alternative? Because at some point, not being who you are and not being out of the closet metaphorically with whatever it is that you believe in, your convictions and your morals, that's going to start causing you physical pain. Mm-hmm. It's going to manifest as a disease. It's going to manifest as mental health issues. I've witnessed it. I've experienced it. And so, yes, it can be really terrifying to kind of feel exposed and vulnerable. But for me, the alternative of being stifled and hiding out of fear is way more fucking terrifying than being in the arena. So it's again, kind of like choose your heart, right?
Yeah.
And neither of them are wrong, but it's just for me, the other one was just way worse. It just started to feel like a slow suicide death.
Absolutely. That reminds me of a Brené Brown quote, like, if you are not in the arena getting your ass kicked, I'm not interested in opinion, something along totally. The lines.
Absolutely. It's so true.
Yeah, right. And you've like shared your story openly on Instagram and maybe on other platforms, like social media platforms as well. What kind of, I guess there's like a two-part question, like do you think like it's safe to share on social media? Would you do anything differently now if you started sharing your story today?
Yeah, you know, I love this, such another great question. This conversation about like what is authenticity and what is being outspoken. And there's a lot of kind of buzzing words around like being raw and being vulnerable and sharing your truth. Like, what does that mean?
Right.
Because if we're just sharing our truth without any sort of psychic boundaries or without any intuitive knowing of who's going to be receptive of that, we're just kind of throwing ourselves out on the chopping block. And why? Like, absolutely, there's not stuff that I share on Instagram anymore that 5 years ago I would have. There's stuff that I don't share with certain people in my life because I know they won't receive it well. And so I think, yes, absolutely be vulnerable, share your truth, but find out what that means for you, because that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to just expose everything that you believe or expose your past or whatever on the internet. You know, you can share your truth in a way that feels like it has kind of it's been refined and it has a sort of spiritual maturation around it, if that makes sense.
Lovely. Yeah. Much more almost philosophical than I was expecting.
Yeah. I think that's a kind of a piece that's missing out of the conversation of like authenticity and sharing your truth as artists, because 5 years ago I would have been like, oh, if you're not being honest about everything, then you're inauthentic. And I'm like, that's not actually true. I think it's very wise. Yeah, there's certain opinions that I have about things that I'm absolutely not going to put on Instagram because I know that I would get canceled for them. You know what I'm saying? So that's not me being inauthentic. That's me having street smarts. Right. Why would I do that?
Boundaries, but street smarts.
Totally.
Yeah, I think that's a great. I mean that, yeah, just offers so many different ways to even look at it, as in like, yeah, do we put, and I think we should first and foremost, we have the right to put the boundaries as creators. What do we want to share? And if I can share a bit of like my own personal experience, I'm writing a book on abortion and women's autonomy over their own bodies, very timely topic, right? But it follows my own story, and also along the line I've like interviewed. And I guess like opening up about my own story has then led other women to open up theirs. Mm-hmm. And there is a part of me who is thinking, you know, am I ready to share this publicly? Like, you know, going through the whole process, I have a publisher for the book and it's due to come out next year. But I've started asking these questions myself, but I know the answer. Like, of course, like there's no other way. Again, totally. Like the only way is through, but I guess it's just part of the process, probably. It's like kind of going back to our why and deciding over and over and over and over and over again that this is what we're doing, kind of like self-leadership, if could we call it that?
Yeah, or even self-reparenting, kind of like being that like loving mother or father that's like, you don't need to worry about other people's opinions. Like, you just get to be you, like really being nurturing and gentle with yourself, because especially as it pertains to like your body and abortion, that is super fucking vulnerable. And I think that's really wise and makes a lot of sense why you would have like sort of a pause of like, am I ready to do this? You know, I think, I just think that's really wise. And that shows that you're an attunement with your body.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, I know that in my past I first started writing online because I totally exposed the abuse that was happening in my family, shared very personal things. My dad tried to sue me actually, for speaking about the truth of the abuse that I was experiencing in our family. And I grew up in a really small town. And so, sometimes it just needs to be like you're a fucking bowl in a china shop to just, I don't want to say get through it, but like to just start. Sometimes it's going to be messy. You're going to share way too personal of things because you're new at this, you know? But then eventually, like you said with the question of like, am I ready to share this? You'll start to have boundaries, and just those internal psychic boundaries of like, do I want this out in public? Mm. You know, it's anybody's business. And then you get to decide.
It's true. And I always say that to our writers. So Wowzine, the print magazine that we publish biannually, is built on personal storytelling and kind of creative nonfiction. And what I always tell to our writers as an editor is, it, you know, the personal pieces, they need to resonate with others. There needs to be a wider takeaway for others, like of service, like as you as a writer know, but like, the pieces need to have an introduction, a middle, and a conclusion. And that conclusion is often the aha kind of moment to others that is like, I want to know more about her or about this topic, or, you know. And I think that goes with sharing probably anything and everything. Not that we should constantly be thinking what others, you know, that this is going to another arena, but I think especially when it comes to writing, is like, I know personally that this topic is way bigger than me and my fears. Like, it needs to be shared. Like, absolutely. Unquestionable.
Totally. That one last thing I'll say about that, that reminds me something that is so strange, but it actually helps me a lot as it pertains to just like it being bigger than you. I think like the idea and the reality of death feels really comforting to me sometimes, where I'm like, we're all going to die someday and I'm worried about what people think about me. And then in 100 years, like, I'm going to be gone and nobody's going to remember anything. Like, that strangely gives me like a deep sense of comfort sometimes to just kind of lay it all out there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm going to die. We're all going to be dead. Nobody's going to remember if I got canceled or whatever. I'm not even going to remember, you know? So sometimes that gives me like a strange sense of existential comfort.
Yeah, I love the perspective. And also like that we started from the mustard seed and then we're going to the...
And then you're going to die.
You're going to die anyway, so...
Oh, fuck it. It's true.
It's true. I mean, it's all part of life, right? The the whole cycle of life. I love that we've like managed to kind of cover the cycle of life within the 50 minutes or so during this conversation. But where can we find you? What are you doing next? I think we've covered many of those aspects already, but if there is anything else that you would like to share sort of for the listeners.
Yeah, there's a couple things. You can find me on Instagram at Emma_Zeck. And then my website is emmazeck.com. I have another Heart of the Poet that's going to be starting mid to the end of July. So that'll be running for 3 months into the fall, which I'm super stoked about. There's a shit ton of testimonials. This will be my third time running this program. So I have a lot of testimonials on this one, which is really exciting. I have a first single from my EP coming out on June 12th, and then my entire EP will be out on August 10th, I believe, August 10th or 11th. So
you have a title.
I'll be on Spotify and Apple Music and all the things. So it's pretty that exciting.
It's so exciting. What is the genre of the music?
It's Americana, which is like folk, rock, country, indie. It's kind of like all the genres mixed up into one. So
amazing. What's the name of the first single?
It's called Under Hollow. It's actually about the journey that I had last fall with the mushrooms. Under Hollow.
Under Hollow.
Yeah, it's a really kick-ass rock song, which is really, it's like, it's so funny because my EP is all some of the songs are really mellow and quiet and soft. And then this one is like a freaking ball buster. It has like a really intense electric guitar and it's pretty badass. So I'm excited.
Amazing. And then people can also find you on Instagram, right? Emma_Zeck.
Emma_Zeck. Yeah.
Cool. So go and find Emma's beautiful line of work. Emma, it's been such a pleasure to be talking to you today.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was badass. And I'm super excited to have connected with you.
Likewise, my heart space feels very warm.
That's how you know.
It is not, but still, it's like adding an extra layer of warmth. Amazing. Thanks so much. And let's speak soon.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah.